Hello, it's Christine. I'm sitting with Sue Nightingale and Murray Hartley. I've managed to waylay them. I waylaid Sue and her partner Roger, who you will all know. Roger Howard, of course. Yes,
Howard Brothers in Rochdale.
And you'll know Roger because he's lived in Topperton for a long number of years. You won't know Murray, because Murray was being shown round. You're obviously house hunting, I think, aren't you? And
yes.
Seeing what,
maybe
what
come
there
up here.
Is. Yes,
yeah.
Yes. But Murray has got a very special thing that he was going to talk to us about. I'd seen Roger wearing a hat with Antigua on it, and then I found out that Antigua is the hopping off place for where Murray lives.
Montserrat.
And, of course, this is where you enjoy, Sue, isn't it? Yeah. So, can you tell us a little bit about Montserrat, please?
Right.
Murray?
Okay. Montserrat's an island in the Caribbean. It's 23 miles from Antigua, which is quite well known. That's a big holiday island. And so it's much, much smaller. It's one of the smallest islands in the Eastern Caribbean chain, the Leewards and the Windwards. This is in the Leeward Islands. It's a British overseas territory, so it's still partly run by Britain. It's like what they used to call colony, but everyone's too politically correct to call it colony now, so it's a British overseas territory.
Okay. British overseas territory.
And the main thing about people will know about Montserrat is that it was blighted by the volcanic eruption, which started in 1995 and went on for about 15 years. The volcano hadn't erupted for something like 400 years since it was first settled by the Europeans. And then it went up and erupted solidly for 15 years, devastated the whole south of the island, but not the centre and not the north. So the population sank from 15,000 to about 3,000 at its lowest point. It's come back up since then. So it's still ticking over. And what was actually once a very wealthy, prosperous island with lots of expats living there, light industry, a hospital, a medical school, went through very, very hard times for 15 years. But what it did mean is that all the wealthy expats, the sort of people who should have houses in the Caribbean, left, which created an opportunity for people with some money, but not an awful lot of money, to buy a home in what is a place with a fantastic climate, because it gets the trade winds, so the climate's never too extreme, except at the height of summer when it gets pretty hot, but otherwise it's between about 75 and 85 degrees all year round.
Oh, just say that again very slowly for me. Just go on.
Well, it's 75 to about 85
all the
year round. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds,
so it's gorgeous.
That sounds fabulous.
So, volcanic eruption, rich expats get on a plane and leave, all the houses are up for sale. This has happened for a few years, so I was looking for a place in the sun, and I looked at some dreadful places, including Egypt and places
like that,
which I'm so glad I didn't go. But I ended up going to Montserrat because I'm a bit of an amateur geologist and I wanted to see the island with the eruption and everything else. So in 2007, I travelled out there with two friends, not Roger and Sue, two other friends, because they'd heard me going on about, I've got to go to Montserrat. So they said, right, we're fed up with this, Murray, we'll come with you. So we all went off to Montserrat, and it's difficult to get to because you get to Antigua, which is easy. That's just a plane ride from Gatwick. And you get there, and then you've got a choice of ferry or a very hairy little plane, which is a six-seater. And so eventually we got there by the six-seater plane, and we got there, we had a look around, and I thought it was a lovely island. This was like a holiday, and I was still vaguely looking for somewhere to go. And I thought this place would suit me down to the ground. You know, the volcano was still going off at that point. The eruption stopped in 2010. This was about 2007. So it had 3 years when it was still erupting. But I kind of ignored all that. I said, I'm going to get a house here. And I was havering on the edge, and I went, and I loved swimming. And so I walked with my friends down to this deserted beach, because Montserrat's pretty basic now. It's lost a lot of its services. So we had to walk to this beach there. And then I wasn't going to walk back up this hill because I'm not really fond of walking. So I said, I'll swim about three quarters of a mile round to this other bay. And there was this American couple there, and they looked at this fat middle-aged Englishman and they said, he'll never make it. So this very nice lady said, would you like to borrow my flippers? So I said yes. And so I started off and swam round, because I'm actually quite a decent swimmer. And I think they were amazed. I thought they all thought I'd die or something anyway. So, but during this little chat with them, because they were a very nice couple and they had a couple of young kids, must be about 9 and 10 at that point, I said, how did you come to Montserrat? And they, Americans from Boston area, and they bought a house. And the guy said, this is the cheapest house, the cheapest place to buy a house in the Caribbean because of the eruption. What had been a quite, not overly expensive, but fairly expensive island, people could pick up properties cheap. And so he'd done that, and I thought, that's it, cheap house, that's for me. So I'd arranged a mortgage on my house at home. So anyway, went round, looked around, and within a couple of days with my friends, just before leaving, I found this house and I bought it.
Wonderful.
I had all the finance arranged. Mm. So that's the story of how I came to be in Montserrat.
So what's this house like, Sue? Come on.
The house is a beautiful, it's white with blue bits of paintwork and around it, and
made
there's a
out
swimming
of
pool. It's a proper solid built house, and
Murray's had
cement. Murray's with a, you know, it's a proper, and it wasn't damaged in the volcanic eruption, and Murray's had a swimming pool added to it since, so it's absolutely fabulous with the pool now.
And it's nowhere
about
near
an acre of. It's very near the original exclusion zone. In fact,
you better explain
the
that.
First. There's an exclusion zone around the area where still it's dangerous to go. The volcano is still going off, although Murray says it's not. It's still bubbling away and hissing and smoking. And you can't obviously go onto the volcano itself. But one thing that Murray hasn't explained is that there was a main town in this beautiful Caribbean island called Plymouth. And the volcano ash fell over the whole of this town, and now it's completely buried. In 95, the volcano started going off, and in 97, it was so bad that everyone was evacuated. And the people had a terrible time in Montserrat then, because they were all evacuated to the north of the island, where there were no facilities at all.
Well, if Plymouth was the main town,
yes,
and
so
it was buried,
yes,
like Pompeii.
Exactly like Pompeii. It's the same kind of volcano as Pompeii, and the town is buried in ash.
So all of the administration?
Yes, everything. Everything was gone. Everything.
Oh, dear. But it meant that you could buy the house.
I could buy a house cheaply.
Yes, yes.
And as I said, mine is towards the exclusion zone, but it's in the safe area. And it's very nice, isn't it, Sue? So
what sort of vegetation do you have around it?
Okay, the house where I am it's a fairly open spot, but Montserrat itself is very hilly, not only just the volcano, but it's got a range of hills, and they're all jungle-covered. It's got real rainforest there, and they say it's the best island in the Caribbean for rainforest, apart from Dominica. It's like number two. It's very small, but it's all jungle-covered. The beaches aren't great, because they're grey sand, which is volcanic. You don't get your white coral sand beaches that you get in Antigua, but the swimming is excellent, and the water's very clear, it's unpolluted, very good snorkeling, and that sort of thing. And you get the sort of animals you get there are a bit limited, but there's no real nasty things. You get some tarantulas who live in trees.
Oh.
Yeah, you've got to watch it sometimes. You might see a tarantula or two, and you get things called agoutis, which are like rabbits, like black rabbits. And
say the name again.
It's an agouti.
Agouti.
Agouti. I've never seen them anywhere else. They're little
They look like a large guinea pig, about the size of a rabbit, but the shape of a guinea pig.
Yes.
And they go around nibbling grass and stuff. But then there's another animal called an iguana, which is a long, you know, it's a big animal.
Is that a reptile?
Yes. And that's quite scary when you first see it.
Yes.
And then there are lots and lots and lots of feral chickens. And one of the great things about sleeping in Montserrat is that you get woken up in the morning by the roosters crowing, and it really is a bit of a menace, because when after the volcano all the animals were just obviously abandoned, a lot of animals, and there are pigs wild in the forests, and there are these chickens. The chickens are absolutely everywhere.
Mm.
And when you look out of the window onto the garden, Roger Murray's house has about an acre of land round it. It's beautiful with trees on it. And so on the grass, you sometimes see a chicken with 10 little tiny chicks waddling along behind. And the next day you look out and there's only 9. And the next day you look out and there's only 8.
Yeah,
it's quite fun watching the chickens pecking away. You know, it's one of the things, it's daft, but it's one of the things about Montserrat now.
It's unique, back to nature. Completely unspoiled.
And there's a bird called the Montserrat Oriole, which is unique, endemic on Montserrat.
Is that an oriole?
It's a small brown and golden bird
with golden markings on it. Yes. I think
you can have. There are two guides who take people on. I mean, it's very, very, very few tourists on Montserrat, but there are a couple of guides from the National Trust who will take you on a little walk in the forest.
For some minute, you said National Trust.
Yes, there's a National Trust there. Yes, it's all very sort of British, in inverted commas. Not British, but British.
Okay.
So it's National Trust.
Right.
Mm.
And do you... I hope you don't get all of the offshore, like Virgin Islands, where all the money... is secreted there.
Montserrat used to be a haven for dirty money. And in the old days, when it was a prosperous island, I don't think anymore. But in the old days, there were a number of dodgy people who lived there. And there was a house run by a local drug dealer, which was eventually grabbed by the authorities and this sort of thing. But that was back, you know, before the eruption, when it was a wealthy island. It was a haven for sort of dodgy financial institutions, but no more as far as I know.
Right, okay. It sounds an idyllic reversal of fortune in a way, doesn't it?
Yes.
So over to you, Sue. You've obviously been out how many times?
About 10 times. We've lost count now. Roger and I just love going out there.
And you fly from annually. Manchester to...
Sometimes from Manchester, sometimes from Gatwick.
Yes.
It's varied.
Yeah. To Antigua.
And then you have to decide whether to wait. Usually you have to wait a night before you can catch the ferry. The ferry doesn't run every night.
So you could go and watch the cricket.
Because the cricket is right next to the airport.
That's in Antigua.
So we usually have a night in Antigua. It's so different in Antigua from Montserrat. I mean, there's so many people, it's so busy. There are huge, huge cruise ships. If you have a hotel down at St. John's on Antigua, which is the port, then you see these massive, great cruise ships and all the people pouring off them. And then if we go on the ferry, which I prefer, I'm scared of the plane, but I don't like the ferry either. So we usually manage the ferry, which is absolutely ghastly, and I come off, feel it, all wobbly and white and sick, basically. But as soon as you land in Montserrat, you feel better. That's absolutely marvellous.
Of course.
The jetty is tiny. It's the tiniest jetty. And the boat is pretty small. The ferry is very small. And often, if it's rough, it can't run. So it's all very dodgy just getting there and getting off. You can't just escape.
It will encourage you to stay a lot longer, won't it?
Yes.
So let's go back to your first trip. I've heard that your first trip was epic. Come on, Murray.
Okay.
Well, this happened?
Is it, you see. Sue and Roger, Sue particularly, because we're very old friends, she was very fascinated that I got this house in this strange island called Montserrat.
Well, I don't blame her. I think...
Yes. So they Sue being like, said, okay, we got to go and see. But Sue, being a very cautious person, was worried about the volcano, because the volcano was still going off at the time, you know, intermittently going off. So I promised her that the volcano wouldn't go off when she was there. I made her this promise. I said, I've talked to the mountain, and the mountain won't do anything when you're there. And Sue said, ooh, okay, you promise? So I said, yes. So anyway, Sue and Roger come, and they came over, and we all travelled together, and Sue loved it, and it was all beautiful for the first couple of days. Then we went to a local cafe eating place where I go to. There are a number in Montserrat. And then we were sitting there at night, and it was all great. And then suddenly we heard this rumbling sound and booming sound. And then it sounded, and then Sue said it felt like a heavy truck had passed, which was actually a small tectonic earthquake from the volcano. And then I heard this booming and banging, and I thought it was a thunderstorm. But the strange thing was, the thunder was coming from the ground and not the sky. And then we looked out, it was a dark night, but there was an even a patch of even greater darkness to the right.
It was like a dense black cloud above you, nothing like what a normal dark sky looks like at night. And at the edge of it, there were still stars and whatnot. But within this dense, very, very dense black was flashes of lightning, Y-shaped flashes all over, flash.
And there were balls of fire.
And at one point, you see balls of fire coming up. You could see the distance from the volcano. You could see a red glow in the night from the actual lava that was flowing out of the volcano. Carry on.
Having had all these assurances and promises and messages to the gods that this will not happen.
Yeah. And so I was pretty terrified. But then, so we carried on, and then we were out shopping. And suddenly, in the daytime, there was suddenly, you could see this great plume of smoke coming out, with ash coming out of the volcano. So that was scaring me again. So by about the fourth or fifth day,
I'll just interrupt here, because this was one of these moments that's like absolutely seared on my brain. It was about 5 o'clock in the morning when it becomes light, or 5:30.
And the roosters are going.
If any of you know me, I'm quite a nervous, quite an anxious person, really. So hurry on, Murray.
Anyway, so I leaped out of bed and I looked over to the right where the volcano was, and I saw this huge new plume of smoke and booming and banging, and I thought, I hope Sue doesn't wake up, and maybe by the time Sue wakes up, it will have all gone away. Then I looked round and Sue was standing there going, ah, we're leaving this instant. And you've got to remember that the people on Montserrat, where I live, had lived with these sort of eruptions for years, and they hadn't gone, but Sue like really freaked it. So she said, we're leaving now. So Roger had to book a plane the next morning from the other end of the island. He couldn't leave that day, so we fled up and stayed on the northernmost tip of the island in the guest house. And then the next day we said, we're leaving for Antigua. I said, we don't need to do that. But anyway, Sue was insistent, so we all got on the little plane, and Sue was right, thank God we're getting off this island, we're all going to die. And then as we were flying very close to the volcano, it started to erupt, and the pilot said, and we could see it going up only like hundreds of yards away or whatever it was, and the pilot said, well, that's really interesting, let's go and have a closer look. So we flew over this erupting crater, and at that point I think Sue passed out with fear in the plane. But it actually flew around it and went,
oh my goodness.
So,
oh, I think I would have been with you there. Oh dear.
And then we eventually went to Antigua, and we found, after a couple of days looking, a really beautiful, beautiful, typical Antiguan hotel with all inclusive drinks, and it couldn't have been drinks and meals, everything included, a lovely safe beach and safe everything. And we had a marvellous holiday there, but it was a typical tourist holiday, not Montserrat. Bear in mind, Montserrat, there's no city. There's, you know, the food comes in once a week on a boat from Dominica.
Mm.
And sometimes you run out of milk, or you run out of biscuits. There's nothing on the island. And people say to each other, have you found, you know, somebody's selling green beans? Isn't this wonderful? So it's totally, totally different from being on Antigua. However, despite that lovely holiday, we have been back to Antigua at least 10 times. I mean, we have been back to Montserrat at least 10 times.
Via Antigua, yes. So at least 10 times. Oh.
Roger and I love it there.
I think all our listeners will be wanting to go with you, so I'm sure they will.
But we don't want more tourists.
Oh, Mary Sue, thank you so much. And thank Roger in his absence, because he has been mentioned quite a few times. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay, it's a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye from Christine.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.